proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Made it to Saturday. It's Saturday.
Hi, John Potter, live and local. Yes, local. Nevada, Northern Nevada, where you live. Local stuff. That's what it is. Live and local, 9 to noon each and every Saturday morning in Carson City running the show. I'm in Reno, and Craig is out there in Carson City. Beautiful day, Craig.
Good morning. How are you this fine Saturday morning? Did you take a walk to this morning? I thought I saw you had your backpack on camera.
You and that camera. It's very intrusive. Yeah, I did. I had a beautiful walk today. This was one of the greats. I mean, this week has been our first perfect week, hasn't it? I didn't turn on my heat or my air conditioning on at all. I had my windows open 24 hours straight yesterday to today. That's a first. That's a first in a year that we've had the perfect day where I didn't have to turn something on at home. So no complaints about the weather, major complaints about the printer. Don't want to get into this, but half of the show here today is going to be ad-libbed.
It's a good thing we have a lot of guests then.
Yeah, well, one of the things I lost was all the questions for the guests. So I got to think up new questions for the guests, and we got some great guests. Two of them running for re-election that may be representing you. Also, this is senior month in Nevada, and we're going to find out what seniors can get, especially in Washoe County. And we have comedians who are appearing at the Carson Nugget all in today's show, along with my meanderings, and they will truly be meanderings because I have only half the notes. So half the show I have notes for. The other half is me off the top of my head. I'll let you guess which half. It's me just talking. That's rather dangerous because talking off the top of my head got me cut off the air and shown the door on my last day at Channel 2. I think this place has a little more leeway. We'll see. Actually, I think I'm funnier if I do say so myself, if I'm ad-libbing, if I'm talking off the top of my head. So this might be an interesting show. It might be I could be carried off in handcuffs today. I don't know. It's like that. But as for the printer, this thing is only, bear with me, just 1 minute. I got to let it out. Us seniors, we got to gripe about technology. That's a rite of passage. This thing is 2 years old. Cost me, I thought it was a good deal, $200. I bought it. From the minute I brought it home and opened the box, I thought, it says it's 6-in-1. It does 6 things. It scans. It faxes. It's a copy machine. It prints from the laptop. And I thought right away, the first day, I thought, this is too good to be true. And it is, unless I'm unaware of the fact that computer printers are only supposed to last 2 years. And with my past, I'm getting that impression. I really am. I'm not going to bash the maker of this thing anymore. I went and got a Consumer's Reports and looked up their printers, and I think I'm going to get a brother next time. No, the machine brother. But I knew it was trouble. It's one of those deals where you pay a couple of $100 for the printer, but then the cartridges after 1 year costs more than the printer. It's like the Polaroid camera model where they were selling the Polaroid Swinger camera in the 70s for $19. Remember that? And the film packs were 2 for $19. It's kind of like that. I'm giving up on this brand, and I hope brother will treat me better. So this is off the top of my head this morning. And it's going to be great. I spent too much time this week shopping for a lawnmower. Shopping for one is an adventure. Every place, Lowe's, Home Depot, Harbor Freight, Tractor Supply, Cal Ranch, all together, there are way too many models to choose from. It makes it very difficult. So to whittle it down, you have to decide first, gas or electric. And I researched Consumer Reports. I picked a few models. I read reviews on these lawnmowers. And no matter how high something is rated, the one-star reviews, you know, every five-star review product, they always have the one-star reviews. And I can't resist reading those one-star reviews. And when I do, right away, it talks me out of this five-star product. I just can't do it. You know, oh, you know, the blade's bolt came off. It won't start. Can't return it. Nobody services this brand in town. The wheel fell off. So anyway, I picked an electric. Is that what you would do, Craig? An electric?
My grandfather swore by electric. In fact, he had one of the first electric mowers out there. But he didn't have the lawn you have. His lawn was probably about 1/10 the size of your lawn.
Oh.
And at that time, the electrics were electric plug-ins, not battery.
Well, gosh, I think I'm in trouble with that, too, then. I went through. I read the reviews on every model. Apparently, folks, there's no good lawnmower on earth anymore because there's a contingent out there that hates it and that doesn't work for them, and I'm one of those people. No, it's really me. I take things too seriously. You know, it did what? So after all the work, and it's scaring me to death because the lawn is getting so long. But anyway, with this search on lawnmowers, I picked an electric, Ryobi. But then a neighbor told me the batteries last only 3 to 4 years, five at the max, you know, when the warranty ends. These companies, they know how long these things last. Well, you know that. And, you know, two new batteries cost as much as the mower. Are they phasing out gas lawnmowers? It seemed to me that there were a lot more electrics out there than the gas lawnmower. I hope not. But it doesn't seem the gas mowers have progressed much, the ones that are still there, since I was a kid. You know, it's still the basic Briggs & Stratton 3-horsepower thing on a metal platform. You know, when we were kids, the lawnmower was our version of GoFundMe. But anyway, the gas ones, none of these have really good reviews. And now the grass is too long. It's, you know what it is? It's, I fought the lawn and the lawn won for now. But it's still better than shoveling snow, right? Mowing
and
the lawn.
Battery operated snowblower that.
Oh, they got that too.
Like 10 seconds.
Well, because it's cold. Battery can't take the cold. You know, before at our house, and you mentioned the huge yard, we had lawn people do it. But we've been through 4 services. And I think we found a good one, though. But altogether, I miss having a concrete condo courtyard. I love the yard, and I hate the yard. Anyway, things that folks...
Well, and the birds at your house right now are in mourning for their bird bath.
Yeah, and plus the cat. Oh, that was another thing. You just reminded me. I saved a baby bird. We have 3 cats, and the cute little female is the bloodthirsty hunter. And, you know, these robins, they have their nest close to the ground. And when they kick their little babies off the nest, the babies fall on right there. It's easy to see. And the cat's prowling around. And, well, she got one. She was running around with a baby bird in her mouth. I got it out and kept it in my hand. I didn't know what to do with it. The birds were going crazy about this. So I went to Google right away. How do you feed a baby bird? Because while I was holding it, it kept opening its mouth. And it was, Daddy! And, you know, it said chop up fruit into a puree or do the same with wet cat food and put it in 2 little tiny dishes. And I thought, well, you know, it's going to be outside. It's not going to survive the night. Nobody will help you save a baby bird. I mean, forget it. The animal complex. I've tried this before. I think there's a lady in Tahoe who will help you, but that's only if it's like a special endangered type bird, not a baby bird. You cat owners know what the situation is like. So anyway, I said, there's nothing better we can do than put it on a ledge with plants in the backyard. But I think it's probably going to die overnight. It's going to freeze. So the next morning, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I had to see how the baby bird was. And I was looking all over the place. And there it was, perching, not afraid of me anymore, and opening its mouth. And I noticed the robin, Mama Robin, was on the fence just above. So I was worried that the mama wouldn't be able to find the baby bird, but she did. And then the morning after that, he was gone. The baby bird was gone. So I was so happy about that. Something like that just bumps me out for the entire year. Anyway, okay, that's enough of me. We're going to talk politics today. This is the first day of voting, early voting. It starts today. Polls open at 10 o'clock this morning. Early voting is on from today to June 7th. The hours for early voting at the polling places, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you're in Washoe County, you have 24 different locations to early vote. And there are others in surrounding counties, Carson City and Story and all the others. Primary election day is a little over, 3 weeks away. Yeah, 3 weeks away on Tuesday, June 11th. So the voting starts today, and that's why we have two candidates on the show this morning. Let's open up the phone lines if you can, Craig. Will that work? Oh, good. That's better than my printer. Awesome. I hope it's not made by the same people. I'm John Potter. Phone lines are now open. Open topic until our first guest, 884-9910. I'd be grateful to hear from you and hear your call if you have something to bring up, especially local. We'll be back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, Time 918.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Morning, morning. Happy first day early voting, folks. John Potter, live and local, Northern Nevada, 921 our time. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910, and we say welcome again. Talk to you before. Blake and Sparks. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Blake. Hey, John, it's Blake. Hey, I wanted to jump on real quick. I also am not a fan. I had to go and grab a lawnmower last week from Home Depot for my house. I finally have enough grass to cut. And I got to looking at all the different choices and options and everything. And, yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. I'll agree to that. But at work, we have an Echo battery-powered blower. And I thought, okay, well, with a name like Echo, these guys have got this figured out. This is going to be great.
Yes, I looked into those.
I got maybe 10 or 15 minutes of battery charge, and then it's dead.
Yeah, that's what some of the one-star reviews said, which were only like 2% of the reviews. But for some reason, those one-star reviews just talked me out of everything. That's what somebody said. Yes. Yeah, and then somebody will say, it works great. It's worked great for 4 years. Didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, and it's kind of the, you know, your mileage may vary, your you know, whatever you, depending on whatever kind of terrain you're on or whatever. But
sure.
Yeah, it's just kind of baffling. And then another thing I wanted to say just before you poop me off for the day, everybody get a good idea of the climate of everything around you right now, what you're spending on everything, government, schooling, everything. Look at how everything is going and tell yourself that you're okay with it. And if you can do that, don't bother voting. But if you want a change across the country, we have to get out and vote this election. No one is guaranteed the position. We can't depend on the independents that are tired of Biden's lies and whatnot coming over and helping out President Trump. If you're a registered Republican, you need to get out and vote this season. That's all
right,
I wanted
well
to get
said.
Out. Everyone have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Have a great weekend, John.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Yes, the show slowly veers into politics at the end of May. That's been the experience here. That'll be for the third year now. That's fine. Absolutely fine. And there's a lot of news, not very good news when it comes to voting. And not to discourage you at all from voting, early voting, but it seems, and you probably saw in the news, we may have another error at the Washoe County Registrar of Voters office early this week. Voters who opted out to receive mail-in ballots got them anyway. I believe this happened before. This sounds familiar, but it's happened again. And unfortunately, when the news came out, the county and our local news media, I feel, downplayed this with, you know, the reassurances and, well, you know, like it was no big deal. It is a very big deal. And now, something else. Now the online media page, this is Reno, wrote on Wednesday about a Reno precinct that was sent erroneous ballots, which means some folks may have to re-vote. The story says the ballots misfiled a precinct and the voters in that area south of Rancho San Rafael received a ballot with incorrect races on it, and those ballots were invalidated. So that's two errors right out of the gate before the first vote is cast in early voting. And somebody on Reddit was talking about they got a ballot despite being a non-citizen with a temporary work permit. They found out recently the DMV probably marked them on their own as a voter. Now, that's what somebody else says. Also this week, this is now on the positive side, we may get a voter ID ballot measure on this year's ballot. It would amend Nevada's constitution to require in-person voters to provide valid photo ID and those voting by mail to provide a driver's license or social security number alongside their signature. Very good. As you know, Nevada does not require voters to give any kind of identification. Only a signature is required. And the elephant in the room that nobody wants to address is that signature doesn't have to be that close to the real one. And people who approve your signature may not be qualified to make that decision. I know people who printed their name on their mail-in, and it was accepted and counted. The Nevada Supreme Court, on this new development this week, they said the voter ID measure can move forward despite, why did it have to go to Nevada Supreme Court? Well, there was opposition from Democrat lawyers who are against having your ID with you when you vote. They call it a poll tax. You know, those who believe voter ID is important for the security and trust of our election system have until June 26th. That is, oh my gosh, yeah, that's a month away, to get 102,000 signatures to get the measure on the 2024 ballot. 102,000 signatures within the month. That's a lot. But come on, who is registered to vote and actually goes out to vote but doesn't have a driver's license? Any person actively participating in society has an ID in some form to get a credit card or in the past vote. And I brought this up last Saturday just to repeat what I brought up with the mail-in ballots. Under Nevada law, elections officials can accept mailed ballots for up to 4 business days after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked before the polls closed. Now, Republicans challenging that law, they argue it extends counting past Election Day and therefore violates federal law. So as it stands now, Nevada elections officials can accept mail ballots for up to 4 business days after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked before the polls close. And now they're talking about approving counting before Election Day is over. However, they throw away the envelopes with the signature. How can that be independently verified once the envelopes are gone for the signature and the postmark? Am I correct on this? They can't. It's almost a license to cheat. Just wait a few days to see how many votes you need, and magically they appear. No, I didn't say that. I told you I'm ad-libbing. I'm going to get in trouble today. But if people want to instill confidence in elections, they do things that are consistent with that, like voter ID, like counting ballots the day the election is held and announcing the result that day. Those things instill confidence in elections. And if Mexico, you know, Mexico has voter ID, then what's our excuse? If many European and Latin American countries can have elections in one day and announce the result in the same day, what's wrong with us? You know, and please don't make this an issue about Republicans versus Democrats, you know, like every other issue we do. We're all Americans. We should all want voting security. We're all Americans. We better stick together. We have enemies around the world we need to pay attention to. So let's stick together because we're a much stronger country that way. The liberal versus conservative, the blue state versus the red state stuff, that's media hype. We are at heart independent, just the way we were founded. And what's that thing we used to say? Whatever happened to united we stand, divided we fall. So, okay, Blake got me on the topic. I am so sorry about this. I would rather talk about lawnmowers too. All right. First guest is a candidate. You're going to want to hear him. He may be representing your district. I'm John Potter. This is all live and local. I'll be back. We're going to break for Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 9:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. True.
John Potter, live and local, Saturdays 9 to noon. Okay, let's get to our guests. First off, we have a feud going on between two Republicans running for a seat in the Douglas County Commission. One is the incumbent who is running for re-election. His opponent has mailed out this very personal, negative flyer about our incumbent on the Douglas County Commission. And that incumbent is Danny Tarkanian in our studio in Carson City. Danny, good to talk to you again.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for having me on. I apologize if it isn't real clear. I'm trying to get over a cold. But let me just make one correction. It wasn't my opponent that sent out the flyer. There's this third party PAC. It's been the money that was created by the PAC and raised by the PAC are all the casino people and elected officials or people that have been appointed to certain boards. They raised some money with the purpose of beating me in my reelection. And they sent the mailer out, not my opponent. And the reason they're upset is because I've worked very hard to bring transparency to the residents of Douglas County. I send out pre-Board of County Commissioners emails telling people what's happening with the county meetings, and then I do a post-Board of County Commission meetings telling them what happened in the meeting and why I voted certain ways. And some of the people that have been driving the county commission behind the scenes doesn't like the fact that there's more transparency now.
Well, is this one of those deals where the opponent says, oh, it's not me saying this, it's this PAC, you know, who's pushing this, what, James McCallop for county commissioner?
Yeah, they got him to run. James McCallop's really very close with another county commissioner that's not happy with my newsletters. They got him to run, and he's a former county Republican chair. So they thought that his name ID and his influence with the Republican Party would make a difference. The problem they have is I've worked very hard, like I said, not only bringing transparency to the people, but anytime anybody's called me or emailed me with the problem, I respond back to them. I try to resolve the problems with the county staff. I've received over 200 emails from constituents telling me how happy they are with my work and thanking me for my efforts. And no other county commissioner does that. And I think it makes them look bad. And that's why some of them want to see me defeated.
You know, I said this last Saturday. I'm amazed that some people give these flyers validity. I mean, yeah. there are no standards for these things.
You're 100% right. And it's also the same thing with television ads and bigger races and, you know, even some radio ads. People can say in politics whatever they want. And if it's not fact-based and about policy decisions or the performance in your job, it really has no relevance to the case. For example, these attacks that they had, one of it says that I didn't support two Republicans in the last election. That's a complete lie. I didn't support one Republican. Her name was Michelle Fiore. She said horrible and disgusting things about my wife at a public meeting that was caught on tape. And I sent that video out to people. The guy I'm running against was a county Republican Party chair, so he kicked me out of the party because I wouldn't support a vile and disgusting person who went off in a drunken tiff at a meeting. Those are the things they say in these things are not really relevant to my job performance. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's unfortunately part of campaigns nowadays. Yes. Let's speak to the folks in Douglas County. What needs to be done in Douglas County? You're on the Douglas County Commission.
Well, there's
what issues are there problems there that you have solutions to that the opponents will make worse? What?
Well, I don't know if they'll make them worse. The fact is, we've ignored our road maintenance and road construction for many, many years, maybe decades, and that needs to be changed. Our budget is very tight. The road construction costs are going up. Our revenue from the gas taxes are going down. But we've also siphoned the road maintenance money and put it into what we call the Mola Parkway development. So we don't have any money going to road maintenance. It's all paying for the new parkway. That needs to be changed. I'm working with the county manager to figure out ways to bring in more revenue, and hopefully the Mola Parkway's funding is complete. There's financial issues. But the biggest problem on the county commission right now is there's a select group of people, and they're the ones that are behind this pack, that have ran the county for decades, and they want to continue to do so behind closed doors instead of doing things in front of the public and allowing the public to have input. The only way you have good governance is if the public, in a democracy like this or a republic, is if the people know what's happening so that they can make an educated decision on whether they want to reelect those people or not. And that's what I think is the most important issue for Douglas County right now.
Well, you have the edge being the incumbent. You're very aware of the issues out there. And otherwise, how are you otherwise more qualified than your opponent or opponents?
He's been on the what they call GID board, General Improvement Board for, in the Gardnerville Ranchos for 4 years, the same amount of time I've been on the county commission. You just compare our records. I send out newsletters informing the public of what's going on before and after meetings. He doesn't. I respond to every single constituent who calls me with a problem or emails me with a problem, and he hasn't. I have town halls throughout the county to meet with different people to discuss the issues, and he doesn't. I've had annual barbecues, free barbecues I provide to the constituents so we can meet each other and discuss issues, and he doesn't do any of that. I voted to keep Douglas County rural, which is what the residents of Douglas County want very badly. I've not voted against any, I've not voted for any zone change or a master plan change. Now, he hasn't had the chance to vote on those, but he can't do any better than I have there. Sure. There isn't anything he said. Now, the campaign's been going on 2 months. They asked him what votes, this was at a Good Governance Group's luncheon, what vote he would do differently than mine, and he couldn't come up with any. He hasn't said anything that I've done poorly, except what he says in his newsletter, his handout, is that Danny Tarkanian has been ineffective for the district because he hasn't attended any of my GID meetings. So basically, he thinks it's more important for me to attend one of his GID meetings than it is for me to send out these newsletters to respond to constituents' problems. I do a weekly promote small business Saturday videos. Instead of doing those things, he thinks I should sit in his meeting and listen to him.
Those don't sound like major issues to contest you with. That's really digging.
I'm not going to lose the race because he's more qualified or that he's talking about things that he's going to do that I haven't done. The only way I can lose this race is if this third-party PAC has enough money to sway enough turn off enough voters that aren't educated.
Are you like the are you like the outlier on this commission? It sounds a bit like you're talking about, they don't want to notify people of this and that. And it sounds a bit like you're going against the rest of the board.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. We have what we call norms and procedures, which is the way we're supposed to, it's the rules that we're supposed to govern how the board acts. So I made a proposal to amend the norms and procedures, just simply stating that if a constituent has a problem and he contacts the county commissioner, the county commission should do everything he can to work with staff to fix the problem. It was voted down 4-1. I was the only one who voted in favor of it.
I
made another proposal that said the county commissioner should be as transparent as possible and bring to light everything that's going on by the county board, and I was voted down 4-1. So yes, I'm the outlier.
Okay. You feel you're going to be reelected?
Yeah, I feel very good about the race. I've been in some races, and I've lost some, where I felt good too, so you don't want to be overly confident. But every race I've lost, I've been outspent at least 2-1, and it's always been negative personal tax. Well, they're coming up with negative personal tax here, but I have the money to combat what's going on, and I feel very – and the other thing is, when you run in a closer – in a smaller race, you know, a district where people know the candidates and the incumbent better, my job performance is going to make a big difference when they go to the polls to vote.
And where can folks get to meet you? People are trying to decide, this person or that. What's your next appearance going to be where people can find out more about you?
We just had our only debate last Wednesday, so they won't be there. But they can contact me on my cell phone, 702-378-5213. They can contact me through my email. It's my first and last name, DannyTarkanian@gmail.com, or then go to my website, TarkForDouglas.com, and see where I stand for. You know, I've had over 200 people that live in Douglas County that have sent me emails thanking me for my work. I've got the endorsement of the people. He has the good old boys working for him, and I feel good about my position.
All right, TarkForDouglas.com.
Yes.
It's great talking with you, Danny. Anything else you want to bring up?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to be on the station. Love listening to you.
Yes. Throw that flyer. Oh, I throw all flyers away. No offense. If it came from you,
if it came from you,
I put out a flyer that talked about all my accomplishments. I think some of them are good if you're talking about the job performance you're doing.
There you go. That's the kind of flyer we need, not this goofy stuff where they filter the picture of opponents to look like Dracula and, you know, the game. I'm so sick of it.
That's so true.
Right. Danny Tarkanian, it's TarkForDouglas.com. Thank you, Danny. Hope to talk to you again before the election.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. We're going to open up the phone lines again. Open topic 884-9910. Our next candidate coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 946.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Okay, now we're in the mid-60s. Gorgeous day in Reno. John Potter here, live and local. We just opened up the phone lines. My apologies if you tried to get in earlier, but they're open now. 884-9910. As always, know that the door is always open on this show. Local talk radio doesn't really exist to give me a platform, right? I'm insane. I talk to myself, so I've got all the audience I need. But local talk radio exists to give the community a platform. There are other shows with far better hosts than me, like the national ones, but you can't get into those national shows. I mean, you can't. You can try, but you can't. This show you can get in on, and you got something to say if you need people to hear it. This station and this program is your opportunity in your town where you live. 884-9910 is our number. Memorial Day is Monday. That is so many different things. One of them is, of course, a day to honor our war dead, the people who died in the war defending American freedom in the armed forces of the United States. Many folks go to cemeteries. We put flowers on graves, tend the grass, tell our stories. It's actually a sweet and wonderful time. Of course, Memorial Day is not a day to honor veterans. It's all about people who died in the war for us. We have a Veterans Day for those who served in the military and came back, and Armed Forces Day, which we just had last, I believe, Saturday, for those who currently serve. Monday, though, people who died in the war for us. And none of this is meant to be overly somber or anything else like that, but Memorial Day is for a reason. And yes, the reason is go out, have fun, get in the boat, do some swimming, eat some ice cream, grill some hot dogs and hamburgers, steaks if you got them. Absolutely. We are meant to live and enjoy. We celebrate every day in America, but we commemorate as well this weekend, or actually on Monday, those who died for us. And having that as part of the mix is useful. On Monday, the public, you, are invited to the Memorial Day ceremony at Reno's Grand Army of the Republic Cemetery. That's at 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday, at 210 Angle Street. That's right by West 10th. And if you miss that, there's Fernley's ceremony at 11 a.m. Monday at the Northern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery. I've been to that one before. I was grateful to be there. I learned from some of their families about some of our locals who paid the price for what we enjoy here. And thinking about them from time to time, for me, has been useful, knowing the sacrifice that others gave to keep us safe and free. More on that later on this morning. There are some great places to go and learn and remember about our conflicts here where we live. We've had heroes from here in Northern Nevada who've died on behalf of the United States, and it is they, American heroes, men and women who have fallen since, that we honor Monday. Freedom isn't free. Monday's a day to celebrate the pride, honor, courage, and freedom that our brave men and women have sacrificed so that we can live our lives in this beautiful area. And by the way, on Monday, government offices, the post office, and many banks are closed. Walmart and Sam's Club will be open, but Costco is closed on Memorial Day. And, you know, I was just swapping emails with a lady from over in Sparks, and she, some years ago, she and her dear husband lost their son. He was a corporal in the Marines. He was killed in Afghanistan. And a neighbor friend of theirs, a dad, former Army soldier with two elementary school-age sons, told this couple that they were going to Washington for a visit for fun, as, you know, vacations usually are, but also to instill upon the two boys some history about their country, so a bit of education, too. And part of this education, this dad talked to his young sons about this corporal living next door to them who passed away. So they looked him up. They found out what happened, where he was from, and whatever they could learn about him. And then the two boys, they made cards to him. And then early this month, the three of them, the dad and the two boys, went to the east, went to D.C., and staying down there by that way, they looked up his grave at the Arlington National Cemetery, and they went there with the cards, and they visited. And again, the purpose of this dear father was to help his sons learn about the sacrifice that keeps us free and to personify it by exploring and understanding one individual. And now we have Memorial Day coming up on Monday. It's a wonderful day. I love everything about it, but it was conceived to honor our war dead. And I wonder if it might be useful to maybe pick one or two individuals who have given their lives for our country, and two, as a family, to learn about them. You know, maybe you and your sweetheart, or just you, if that's all there is, or if you got kids in the house, or maybe in your family group text to the kids who've grown up and left, maybe you could pick somebody. There have been many people who have perished in our services around here. If you like history, there's the Battleborne Memorial to the Fallen that was dedicated 6 years ago. It's right there on the Capitol grounds in Carson City. Has the names of like 900 Nevadans who made the ultimate sacrifice, dating back to the Civil War. At Reno Stead Airport, there's a new Mustang 22 memorial in honor of the plane that was shot down in Afghanistan. Downtown Reno, you could go out to the World War II memorial statue that's in front of the old Washoe County Courthouse. It just sits there to remind folks just walking by. And right across the street from that, Pounding Veterans Memorial Park has the names galore from the War on Terror etched onto the Freedom Memorial statue out there. I just saw it yesterday. Maybe it would be more enhanced for us to focus on the specific as well. You know, this man, this woman died for us. And maybe if we spend a day or two talking to our kids about it, reading different accounts of these people, maybe that would make this coming Monday all the more sacred and purposeful for us. It's something to think about. I don't know if the schools do this, but we have 11,000 children in Nevada who are connected by family to the armed forces, a lot of military kids. And as we approach graduations, I think in a couple of weeks, we, you know, have many young graduates who have or will enlist for the service. And you know where I was born? They have a community-wide ceremony just for the kids graduating from high school who were enlisting with our military. We don't do that here. I wish we did, but as a good friend of mine who did just that has said dozens of times, if you're graduating from high school and you don't have a plan yet or what you're going to do, you don't have a good deal yet, or you don't know your career, what's it going to be, signing that piece of paper, joining our armed forces, will set you up for life, basically. And if you're not a scumbag, okay, it's a huge positive for you. He says, forget defending the Constitution part, forget saving America. This is a great job. Anyway, I'm John Potter. Got a break for Fox News. Our phone number, 884-9910. Call anytime. You're invited. And I'll talk to you on the other side of Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 958.